I think we're going to start putting the names of, when there's room, putting the names of all the deacons and the elders, ruling elders, in our bulletin every week so that you can pray for them throughout the week. I'm just thankful. So very thankful for the leadership of this church. God has really gifted this congregation with leaders who have passion for the gospel, a heart for Jesus Christ, a heart for service. They make a pastor look good. As I told you earlier, this is Baptism of the Lord Sunday, and we're going to look at Luke's account of the baptism of Jesus. Luke chapter 3, beginning with verse 15, and I'm going to read through 22. And we're kind of coming in right in the middle of Luke's description of the ministry of John the Baptist. Hear now the word of God. As the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by John for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now when all of the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. The word of the Lord. Will you bow with me for a word of prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't think that John the Baptist would have been a jolly companion at a dinner party. He was intense. He wore camel hair clothing, and not the good kind. Remember when camel hair coats were in style for guys? But his was the rough kind. Leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. And he was an intense preacher who came to prepare the way of the Lord. He was clear that he was not the Messiah. But there was much speculation, apparently, that he was. But he said, One is coming after me, the thong of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. And so you'd better get ready. Repent. He called, he not only called for repentance, he called the religious leaders a pack of snakes. That's me. He said when the Messiah comes, he's going to make a great separation. It's going to be like when you thresh the grain and you separate the wheat from the chaff. And the wheat he will gather into his barn. He's talking about people. The wheat he'll gather into his barn to be with him. The chaff, those on whom his wrath is going to fall, he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now, like I said, he was intense. He was not your polite company. The fascinating thing is that people thronged out to hear him. As Mark's gospel tells us, all Judea went out into the wilderness to hear John the Baptist preach. Now, why would people throng to get verbally beat up, to be told that they're sinners and that they need to repent now? I think I know why. Because there's something in us that knows that's true. We know it's true. And we want to get washed. All of us do, don't we? We all have regrets in the past that come back to haunt us. And we want to get washed. So people thronged out there to the Jordan River to get washed by John. We know we're sinners. John was telling the truth. But I think there's something more to it. I think we kind of, in a way, like judgment. Now, stick with me here. We kind of like judgment because it's what we're used to. We've been judged ever since the day we came out of mom's womb. We've been judged by teachers, coaches, employers. We were judged by our parents when we were children. And guess what? One of my discoveries as a parent, you get judged by your kids. Don't you? Worst of all, we are judged every day by that person that shows up in the mirror every morning. And seldom is the judgment as good as we want. So when we hear John's dire word of warning that we must repent, we say, Amen, John. Now, the people were thronging out to him to repent and get baptized, but John's baptism is not yet Christian baptism. It's different. To borrow a phrase from Mark Twain, the difference between John's baptism and Christian baptism is the difference between the lightning bug and the lightning. But first, let's focus on John's baptism. John's baptism was a symbolic. People knew, and John knew, that water didn't cleanse away sin. Water can't cleanse the heart. But it was symbolic of repentance. And John was calling people to repent of their sins, to turn. To repent means to turn. You've been walking away from God, turn back toward God, renounce your sin, and symbolically, to symbolize God's forgiveness, get baptized. That's John's baptism. Now, once again, we like John's message, but I think that perhaps we misunderstand it. I said a moment ago that we like judgment. And the reason that I think we like it is because we all have within us the false notion, if I just try harder, I can get it right. And especially at the beginning of a new year, right? We all make New Year's resolutions. Mine last about 4 days. The new year is like a fresh start. Boy, this year, I'm going to get it right. How many of you, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of us have believed and that Christianity is about trying harder? If I just try harder, I'll get it right. I can please God. The reason we like that message is that it appeals to something heroic in us. We'd like to think that if I just try harder, I can get it right. Now I'm going to ask a Dr. Phil question. How's that working out for you? Well, one day Jesus showed up on the banks of the Jordan. And John's gospel tells us that when John saw Jesus walking through the tall grass on the bank of the Jordan River, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus showed up on the banks of the Jordan where people were knocking themselves out to get life right. He could have just as easily showed up at a job interview or a wedding or a retirement party. Wherever it is that people are thinking, just one more chance to get it right. And Jesus did something remarkable. He walked down into the river to get baptized. And Matthew's gospel tells us that John objected. I can't baptize you. And Jesus said, "This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. Necessary to fulfill my mission." You know what Jesus was doing when he walked down into that river to get baptized? This was indicated by his birth that we just celebrated a few weeks ago. Jesus, our Savior, was born in a barn and laid in a manger. He didn't come to be above us. He didn't come to lord it over us. He walked down into that river to identify with sinners. He was the only person in the history of the world who didn't need to get washed. And he walked down into that river to identify with us. He came to be beside us, not over us. And the Heavenly Father was so pleased that he opened, it says, the sky opened, and the Spirit descended on Jesus dove-like, and then a voice was heard. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Now, a little while ago, I read you the verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. Old has gone, the new has come. By faith in Jesus Christ. By the way, did you know that salvation is not your doing? In the Old Testament, Jonah says salvation belongs to the Lord. It's not your doing. It's God's doing. And when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are united with Christ, so that his righteousness becomes our righteousness. His relationship with the Father becomes our relationship with the Father. Do you see the miracle here? When we are united with Christ by faith, and trying harder has nothing to do with it. It's faith alone. When we are united to Christ by faith, we share his sonship, and that voice from heaven is for us too. You are my child, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Romans 8, verse 15 says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. That's try harder religion. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Abba. You know what that means? Papa, Daddy. That voice from heaven, brothers and sisters, is for you. When we are united with Christ by faith, you are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased. I want to share with you an image that I know I've shared with you before, but I just love it. A generation ago, a man named Bruce Larson was a prominent, he's with the Lord now, but he was a well-known Presbyterian minister up in Seattle. And he had an image. He said, you can either listen to the voices coming out of the basement, or you can listen to the voice from the balcony. The voices that come out of the basement are harsh things that perhaps were said to you as a child. Maybe it's your own voice accusing. Maybe it's Satan's voice. Satan is the accuser. But many of us in childhood heard some pretty harsh things. You're not good enough. Try harder. You're not pretty. You're not very smart. And although we try to rise above those judgments, they continue to haunt us. It's like they're coming up out of the basement. But Bruce Larson went on. He said, it's possible to hear the voice from the balcony. And the voice from the balcony is much stronger. It's the voice of God, our Heavenly Father, who is well pleased with you. You are my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. With you I am well pleased. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. I told you earlier that Christian baptism, the baptism that John promised, he said, the one coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Christian baptism is very different from John's baptism. John's baptism symbolized repentance and forgiveness of sin. You would have to get rebaptized every day, maybe five times a day. Maybe just carry a bathtub around with you for when you need it. Christian baptism, and I hate to admit this, if there were any Baptists in the room, I wouldn't admit this, but total immersion really is a better symbolism of baptism. Now, as Presbyterians, we sprinkle, and a Baptist friend of mine, Greg Reeder, he's retired now, but he was the pastor many years at Eustick Baptist Church here in town. And he used to say to me, well, Phil, do you want to be clean in spots or do you want to be clean all over? But here's why. It's not, believe me, if you got sprinkled, I got sprinkled, and that's a baptism. But to go under the water symbolizes death. And to be raised up out of the water symbolizes resurrection. If anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. We are not slaves to anyone's judgment. Not parents, not children, not an ex-spouse, not our boss. We're not a slave to the mistakes and sins of our past. We are not slaves to society's illusion that we can just try harder and get it right. We belong to our Heavenly Father. Now, one final thing. John the Baptist was right when he said judgment was coming. He was exactly right. He just didn't know the wonder and the mighty miracle of the form that it would take. Judgment came. Sin was judged once and for all at Calvary's cross. The Messiah who was coming, God in the flesh, would receive the wrath that was due to us. He would take our place, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. My man Martin Luther got this right. I'm going to close with this. Martin Luther said, "So, when the devil throws your sins in your face and declares that you deserve death and hell, tell him this: I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God. And where he is, there I shall be also." Amen? Let's bow together in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came among us in the flesh, God incarnate, not to come above us, but to come beside us, to identify with sinners. And not just there that day in the River Jordan when you were baptized, but all the way to the cross, where you identified with sinners like us and took the punishment that was due to us. We thank you and we praise you. I pray for each one here. Right now, place your faith, place your trust in Jesus Christ alone. Not in getting it right, not in one more try, but in Christ alone. And hear this voice from God for you. You are my child, my beloved, and with you I am well pleased. Amen.